Hello and welcome to the latest podcast in our series, Living with Diabetes, brought to you by Diabetes Research and Wellness Foundation. In this edition, we focus on eye health with ophthalmology leader and practitioner, Adam Mapani.
When people lose their eyesight, they often lose their independence, their dignity, and their ability to become valuable members of their community. So simple, small steps can contribute towards better eye health. People living with diabetes are up to 5 times likely to develop cataract at an early age compared to those without diabetes. Regular exam is highly recommended in order to protect eyesight and an early precaution if necessary.
I'm Claire Levy from DRWF, the host of our podcast, Living with Diabetes. Eye health is a big subject area for people living with diabetes. So in this special edition, we have an extended discussion with ophthalmology leader and practitioner Adam Mapani. He's a nurse consultant at Moorfields Eye Hospital, Medical Retina Department in London, and an honorary clinical teaching fellow at the UCL Department of Clinical Ophthalmology. To get a better idea of his extensive expertise, I started by asking him to describe his work in greater detail.
Within my remit, I am involved with training and development for allied healthcare professionals, ophthalmic nurses, junior doctors, clinical care. I'm heavily involved in the management of people living with diabetes, other retina conditions such as age-related macular degeneration, retinal vascular disease. I'm also involved with patient education, innovation. I am also involved with a lot of community projects. One of such, I am the current co-chair for the Black Asian Minority Ethnic Group, looking at visual impairment disparities in the BEM group. During the pandemic, I have been heavily involved with the Diabetes Prevention Program, working with NHS England. And most recently, I've also been invited to participate in the campaign for vaccines uptake in BMEs.
So you're busy at the moment.
Very busy.
So just thinking about eye health, what are the most important things for people to think about for their own eye health?
Yeah, so let me start by saying when people lose their eyesight, they often lose their independence, their dignity, and their ability to become valuable members of their community. So therefore, good vision helps people to perform their work socially, in their community, and occupationally at work. So simple, small steps can contribute towards better eye health. Regular exam is highly recommended in order to protect eyesight and an early precaution if necessary. So there are other simple things that people can do which can also have overall benefits. Include eating healthily. What's on your plate matters. Balance a health diet, reduce the risk of eye disease. Expert recommendations on diet, there's eat loads of omega-3 fats, such as that found in oily fish, such as salmon, and lutein found in dark green leaf vegetables, such as spinach and kale vegetables. Why this is important? Because it's important to the health of the macula, the part of the eye responsible for central vision. High-fat diets, unfortunately, are bad news because they can cause deposits that constrict blood flow in the arteries. The eyes are sensitive to this due to the small size of the blood vessels that feed them. I would also want to emphasize the importance of stopping smoking. Smoking cessation has got multiple benefits, although there is minimum evidence linking between smoking and eye disease. Smoking can expose your eyes to stress. Smoking significantly increases the risk of developing eye disease, such as cataracts and age-related macular degeneration. Therefore, quit smoking is critical during the pandemic, never than before, because individuals with what we call COPD and other lung conditions who smoke are more likely at greater risk of serious COVID-19 infection. Regular exercise, very important. Why? Because exercise improves blood circulation, It improves oxygen levels to the eyes and the removal of toxins. Regular breaks, they're important. Never than before, we see more and more people working from home because of COVID-19 under government guidance. But please be mindful that when you work on something close up, such as computer or in other devices, your eye muscles are active. So this can cause tiredness, headaches, even those with normal sight 20/20 vision rule. So every 20 minutes, you're encouraged to look at something 20 feet away for 20 seconds. And also, very importantly, don't forget to blink, as this helps to prevent your eye drying out. Not the right time to say, but wearing sunglasses makes the vision more comfortable in the sun, and they protect eyes from ultraviolet light. Avoidance of dry eyes, again, very important. If the eye becomes dry, tired, and sore, you are not producing enough tears or you have poor quality tears. So things like central heating, air conditioning, computer use can make it worse. Many adults, we see them suffering with dry eyes due to a health condition or a medication. So again, going back to health eating, omega-3 supplements may help. Long-term, drink plenty of water and remember to blink often.
There's lots of good advice in there. And so why is it so important for people living with diabetes to go for their retinal screening appointments?
Eye screening is an important part of managing diabetes for people living with diabetes. People with diabetes are at risk of developing eye problems such as diabetic retinopathy for the peripheral retina and diabetic macular edema affecting the central macula. So this can cause sometimes, or this can cause sight loss or disturbances with visual function. Diabetic eye disease doesn't show any symptoms in the early stages. So screening can identify sight-threatening disease early. It can become quite advanced before starting to notice any symptoms. Routine eye screening identify those sight-threatening conditions early, treat early. We should prevent it from progressing to a stage where it is more difficult to treat or manage. And again, we also see multiple benefits. If we detect something early, it can also be managed conservatively through the encouragement of lifestyles such as blood pressure and diabetes control.
And people might say, well, there's nothing wrong with my eyesight. Why should I go along?
Yes, as I said earlier on, there isn't symptoms in some cases for those people with diabetic eye disease. So retinal screening is a way of identifying early problems before noticing changes to your sight. So everyone living with diabetes over the age of 12 will get an invitation for regular eye screening. And again, opportunistically, there is something there that one can do or improvise in terms of lifestyle once certain things have been identified or changes at the back of the eye.
And what does the screening imagery pick up? How does it work?
So the digital photographs taken shows the retina where the light and images hit. It also shows the optic disc, the spot on the retina that was the optic nerve, which sends information to the brain and blood vessels. So this helps image graders, clinicians to find certain disease and check the health of people with diabetes eyes. And importantly, I must say, the digital imaging has improved in recent times. So we see more and more innovation from industry. We are also able to detect certain conditions which are non-diabetic. And once we identify these conditions, we should be able to make appropriate referral to relevant eye specialists.
And do you want to talk about the treatments that there are for issues that are discovered?
So what I tend to go by, if I identify small changes such as maculopathy involving the central macula or some early changes in the peripheral retina, the most important message there is good lifestyle, lifestyle modification, things like exercise, keeping your blood pressure under control, keeping your systemic control, your blood sugar, and so forth. And another opportunity that I tend also to do and to maximize on that as a treatment is to realize that there is vital clinical evidence in form of clinical trials and epidemiological studies that have proved beyond any shadow of doubt that lowering blood pressure and blood sugar levels, it can significantly improve the presentation of the eyes. So those are the kind of the first stage treatments. Then if there is any sight-threatening eye condition that we have identified, such as diabetic macular edema, which involves the leakage behind the back of the eye, formation of abnormal blood vessels, there is treatment. But however, we need to refer patients to an eye specialist where they can have some further investigations, treatment management plan in partnership with their specialists and discuss treatment. So treatment for diabetic macular edema or center involving maculopathy, it involves injections into the eyeball, or it can be steroids. So these injections are relatively new on the market. So therefore, there's been treatment evolution in the management of diabetic macular edema. So from laser treatment, we see more and more patients, those with sight-threatening, with diabetic macular edema, who can benefit from these injections. And before we load patients on a course of injections, we tend to do investigations. We assess their clinical history, full medical assessment, identify if there's any other underlying issues. In some cases, we do some investigations which can help us to establish the extent of the damage. After those investigations, we give our patient the opportunity to peruse the information in form of patient information given to them. And in our department, we are so privileged that we have got a very good diabetes specialist nurse who is able to provide disease counseling, disease education for this group of patients. So for those patients who fulfill the criteria for what we call anti-VEGF injections, they'll be loaded on a course of injections. And the injections involves monthly visits to the eye clinic department. And I'm also pleased to say that there is evidence to suggest that these injections are likely to improve or to maintain visual function according to evidence in literature. So for pregnant mothers or those mothers living with diabetes, they will be slightly on a slightly different pathway. We may consider steroid injections if there's no history of cataract or history of glaucoma, because the injections like anti-VEGF will not be suitable for them. But in most cases, we also encourage good systemic control. For other eye conditions that we identify, we also consider laser treatment. And laser treatment, there is enough evidence to suggest that, again, a laser will be able to destroy the abnormal blood vessels in the peripheral retina. Steroids is also another option for diabetic macular edema, because steroids can reduce the level of multiple elevated inflammatory factors. It has also demonstrated some efficacy in the treatment of diabetic macular edema. But however, we need to be very clear that steroids will not be suitable for people with cataracts or history of glaucoma.
Okay. Do you want to talk a bit about other eye conditions?
So the other eye conditions that affect people, especially as they age, there is age-related macular degeneration, which is a problem associated with the retina. So what's age-related macular degeneration? It happens when a part of the retina called the macula is damaged. So with AMD, one would lose central vision. They will not be able to see fine details, whether they're looking at something close or far. So your peripheral vision will still be normal. For instance, you can imagine looking at the clock with hands. So with AMD, you might see the clock's numbers, but not hands. So there are two forms of age-related macular degeneration. So there's the dry type, which is quite common. About 80% of people we have age-related macular degeneration in the dry form. And dry macular degeneration is when parts of the macula get thinner with age and tiny clumps of protein called drusen grow. They will slowly lose central vision. And unfortunately, currently, there is no medical treatment for dry AMD yet. However, we encourage people, good lifestyle in form of nutritional supplements, eating healthily. Then the other form of macular degeneration is the wet type. This form is less common but more serious. Wet age-related macular degeneration is when new abnormal blood vessels grow under the retina. These vessels may leak blood or other fluids, causing scarring of the macula. So the vision, people lose vision faster with wet AMD than with dry AMD. And unfortunately, many people don't realize they have AMD until their vision is very blurry. So when it gets blurry, that's when they might find out that they're losing vision. So this is why, again, it is important to have regular visits to an optician. People are also encouraged to look for early signs of age-related macular degeneration before the vision has some disturbances. So this is another common. So treatment type, again, the injection that I mentioned for diabetic macular edema, they were first evaluated for the management of wet age-related macular degeneration. So again, the treatment landscape for wet AMD has been greatly revolutionized. Excellent treatment options. And these injections, I'm also pleased to say that they're administered by non-doctors, people like nurses, like myself, in other professional groups, optometrists and orthoptists, and there is excellent clinical outcomes. So for those patients presenting symptoms, please make sure that you see optician as soon as possible.
DRWF, staying well until a cure is found.
You're listening to Living with Diabetes, a podcast from DRWF. We continue our focus on eye health with ophthalmology leader and practitioner Adam Mapani. We moved on to talk about cataracts, the different types and their long-term treatment, and whether living with diabetes increases the risk of developing them.
Yes, so we need to understand what cataracts are. So cataracts are cloud opacifications of the lens of the eye, which can lead to cloudy, blurred vision. So behind the colored part of the eye, which is what we call the iris, there's a black hole in the middle, the pupil, and there's the lens. So in a normal eye, the lens is clear. It helps focus the light rays onto the back of the eye, which is the retina. It sends messages to the brain, allowing us to see, to play with our grandchildren, to read our books. So when cataracts develop, the lens becomes cloudy and prevent the light rays from passing through. I always say to some patient that cataract, it's like gray hair. It's just a reminder that the clock is ticking. So everyone above the age of 40, somewhere, somehow, they've got a degree of cataract. So the symptoms is kind of cloudy or mist vision, blurred vision, or dazzled by bright lights, yellowing of vision, seeing circle of light around lights. The cataract types that are quite common are mainly age-related, but there are other examples of cataracts like congenital cataracts present at birth, drug-induced cataract by steroids, traumatic cataracts due to eye injuries. People living with diabetes are up to 5 times likely to develop cataract at an early age compared to those without diabetes. Cataract is one of the major causes of visual impairment in diabetic patients. So there are two important main risk factors for this: duration of diabetes and poor metabolic control. However, with the older patients, naturally they would have cataracts progressing because of the nature of their age. So the genital cataract treatment involves pre-assessment, clinic visits. So it starts by your genital, either to see your optician, or you could be probably within the care of the eye clinic services. After you've seen your optician, they will refer you for an ophthalmological assessment, and the eye doctors, clinicians, or nurses, optometrists working in the eye clinic department will do some very thorough macular assessment. They examine the front part of the eye, and they also examine the back of the eye. Why we do this preoperative assessment? It's important because it's an opportunity to provide counseling. If we identify that you are at risk because you've got your glycemic control is not yet well controlled, or there's an opportunity for you to improve your systemic problems, we tend to liaise with your gatekeepers, the GPs, diabetes specialists. As part of that full retinal assessment, we also do some investigations to just understand the back of the eye, the front part of the eye. In some cases, we may encourage patients to delay cataract surgery. Why? Because there might be some diabetic macular edema or leakage, which until visual acuity and function have developed to low levels, then we can consider cataract. Because there's a risk or complications associated with cataract, if someone has got diabetic macular edema, they're at risk of developing what we call pseudophakic diabetic macular edema, which can worsen the leakage or the thickness behind the back of the eye. It can also then cause multiple other problems. Then on the day of the cataract itself surgery, there is pre-assessment where you go through the pre-operative department for some further tests, preparation to go to theater. The nurses will look after you very nicely. You get your medical history. You'll be asked to do certain things as part of that preparation. Now, modern cataract surgery techniques is significantly improved over the years, and it tend to yield better results. And then after cataract surgery, we will give you some drops that aim to reduce infection or pressure inside the eye. And we tend to see you back in the eye clinic department within 7 to 10 days. Why we do this is to check if there's any signs of infection or any other problems or complications which are associated by cataract surgery.
And have there been improvements to eye treatments in recent years? You've probably mentioned quite a few that have changed the outcome for people living with diabetes.
Yes, so there is a significant milestone improvements in the treatment of people living with diabetes. So I've already alluded to the fact that from the 80s through the early treatment of diabetic retinopathy study, the main treatment option was laser therapy. But over the years, there's been a revolution in the advancement of treatment through the introduction of intravitreal anti-VEGF injections, which have shown significant improvement in the quality of adjusted life years, demonstrating visual function improvement. And these injections have also shown that they can reduce disease severity for people with diabetes, so a major improvement and a breakthrough in the management of eye treatments.
So has the eye screening program and treatment been affected by COVID-19?
So the question can be answered in two parts. So specifically for eye screening, just like eye care, yes, it has been impacted just like anything else. People attending eye screening or those people living with diabetes, you find that there's significant changes with the appointment. In line with government advice, the appointment may not be at the usual venue. You may be asked to wear protective equipment, face covering. Social distancing measures will be in place in the screening clinic. Staff may be wearing personal protective equipment to protect their patients and to protect themselves. The screening appointment may take slightly longer than usual, not necessarily from the delivery point of view, but because of the additional steps such as social distancing, the directions into the eye clinic services. Patients are also given advice if they're extremely unwell or vulnerable. They're advised to conduct their local screening services before they can attend their clinic. Now, in the UK, I must say the best model of teleophthalmology has been the successful implementation of National Diabetic Eye Screening Program, which was first implemented in 2003. So this has now evolved over the years from a hospital-based consultant-led service to an independent community-based technician-led services. So that also what it means is the introduction of digital imaging is making screening a lot better. But COVID-19, unfortunately, has impacted on screening delivery. In terms of treatment, I wish to say that if someone attending screening, they identify to have sight-threatening disease, the referral process have not changed. What would might change is the duration, the extra time that it might take for you to be seen by eye specialists. So some eye diabetic eye conditions identified at screening might not be urgent, some might be urgent. So anything involves bleeding behind the back of the eye because of diabetes or formation of abnormal blood vessels, that's considered urgent. And these cases would require urgent laser treatment or attention by the eye specialist. For any other condition that is considered non-urgent, so there might be some delays in the pathway, although we are doing as much as we can to ensure that we tend to see you. Now, at the first part of the pandemic, most of the non-urgent care were either delayed or rescheduled or treatment deferred. So again, this might be a change in the treatment because of COVID-19. So at hospital eye services, people who were having intravitreal injections for diabetic macular edema at the beginning of the pandemic, their treatments were deferred by 3 to 4 months because that was considered slow progression and non-urgent. So again, we managed to restart our services somewhere halfway through the summer. So again, we're seeing more and more patients being recalled back for treatment.
So, is it still important for people to go and see their own optician as well as attend eye screening?
It is important for people to go to see the optician. Why? People living with diabetes should also go for regular examinations with their local optometrists or also known as opticians. Diabetic eye screening test doesn't replace regular eye examinations with the optometrists. Diabetic eye screening will only look for diabetic changes to the back of the eye. So therefore, regular eye examination with optometrists can check for eye conditions such as glaucoma. They can check for cataract, for any other things. So it is important to have both tests regularly. Some optometrists may take part of the photo, may take a part photograph of the back of the eye as part of the regular examination. However, this photograph does not replace your retinal screening appointment.
Thank you so much. Is there anything else you'd like to add?
Yes, so I've got some practical key points
Lovely.
That I would like to add. First, number one, I cannot ever overemphasize the importance of lifestyle, especially under this challenging situation that we find ourselves in. So therefore, lifestyle is very important. So working from home is an advantage. But the disadvantage that it can also create is it can create or encourage sedentary lifestyle. So for people living with diabetes, it's very important to ensure a regular exercise. Vital key messages is the importance of keeping blood pressure controlled and also blood sugar control. The second thing that I would like to mention is the digital transformation in the NHS as part of a strategic response to COVID-19. So those patients who were under the care of hospital eye services, you may notice that moving on during even post the pandemic, some of the pathways would have changed. We're now having in place a lot of digitalized pathway. By digitalized, these are ways of improving patient efficiency, recording diagnostic tests with the use of digital equipment. So there's been a lot of digital transformation, taking advantage of digital technology and also taking advantage of some of our excellent workforce, such as technicians. So patients, some patients who were used to see doctors, clinicians, clinical nurse consultants, optometrists in the hospital eye service, they may be moved into these digital hubs where they tend to see non-clinicians who record all the diagnostic tests, and those diagnostic tests or images are reviewed in a timely manner by clinicians. So this is quite a major change for some of our patients. Some patients would also experience what we call telephone consultation, where either our diabetes specialist nurses would call you for vital disease counseling, patient education, advice on medications, or you may have a clinician calling you at home just reporting some of the diagnostic tests that you may have had as part of your visit to our digital clinics. So we see a lot and more of telephone consultation in the hospital eye service. So again, this is another change that I wish to emphasize. It doesn't necessarily change standard care, but this is a way of coping with increased workload and delayed treatments because of the pandemic. It's very important, again, to address the issue of attending eye clinic. There is published reports that have demonstrated a variation in attendance in eye clinic appointments within different population groups. So again, we see some population characteristics and the attendance in the eye clinic. So missed appointments is quite costly to the NHS. It's also costly to the patient themselves because we'll not be able to detect those sight-threatening conditions. We'll not be able to help you to examine, to identify sight-threatening conditions. So therefore, people living with diabetes can help us to help them by attending eye clinic appointments. And then service innovation to improve patient safety and experience. So there's quite a lot of service information innovation in order to improve patient safety and experience. So when you attend your hospital eye service, like I mentioned, the experience of retinal screening, you may see that your clinicians under your care may be wearing personal protective equipment. You may not be able to see, and you may not also be able to realize some of the faces that you'll be seeing frontline. This is all to do with the pandemic. So there's quite a lot of those changes. Now, lastly, talking from a lived experience as someone of BME background, having grown up in Zimbabwe and Africa myself and moved to the UK in the last 20 years, I've seen through some very practical anecdotal experience in ophthalmology for the past 20 years, the characteristics around attendance of eye clinic appointments, the characteristics around missed appointments, the opportunities around lifestyle innovation. So specifically now for the Black minority ethnic group population groups, I do encourage them to do as much as they can to maximize the resources within the National Health Service. If you have not seen anyone in the last 12 months to get your eyes screened, if you have not visited that optometrist, if you have not visited that retinal screening center, if you have not seen your eye specialist, if you have not seen your diabetes specialist nurse, please make a phone call. Please lift that phone. Talk to them so that they'll be able to help you. Thank you.
Lovely. And thank you so much for taking the time to talk to us today.
You're most welcome, Claire.
DRWF, staying well until a cure is found.
And that brings us to the end of this edition of DRWF's podcast, Living with Diabetes. To keep up to date with the latest news and information, or to discover how you can continue to support DRWF at this challenging time, please visit the website at drwf.org.uk. This is Claire Levy from Diabetes Research and Wellness Foundation. Our thanks to Adam Mapani for talking to us in our focus on eye health, and also to you for listening. I'm looking forward to joining you again in our next edition of Living with Diabetes.
Living with Diabetes is a Blue Aurora media production for DRWF. Copyright 2021. Diabetes Research and Wellness Foundation. All rights reserved.